Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
You're listening to the Wild 7 Podcast Network. Listen different.
Welcome back to another episode of Simpin' After Dark. It's your girl, Ashley Mendoza. Super excited to be here today for another solo episode. I have a lot to talk about today. It's like the universe wanted me to talk about this because there was so many just things that were just lining up, you know, like all the social media platforms, like everywhere, like Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and it all came together. So I think it'll be a fun little day of me getting into that. This is actually super fresh, I guess. It's current, that's the word I'm looking for. It's Tuesday today and I'm dropping this tomorrow, so this is all like trending topics and news and drama and just all that, so I'm sure it'll be fun. Also, really quick, if everyone can do me a solid and go follow on Instagram, Amigas the Series. We just made an Instagram for this Spanish telenovela web series that I've been working on. I'm in it and I'm helping produce it. So that'll be coming out soon. We have like one more day of shooting, I believe, and then April is going to get on it. So go follow that for updates and just everything to do with that. And of course, Wild 7 Studios as well. Shout out to them for hosting Simpin' After Dark every week. Yeah, let's get into this. So I'm going to be talking about Tinashe today. I'm super excited because I've actually been meaning to have one of her songs featured on here. I really fuck with her music. She's super talented and super underrated. She just dropped an album, 333, this month, actually, the beginning of the month. And it was amazing. It was fantastic. I actually just got around to listening to the full thing in this past week. I had like a little self-care day the other day. I got in the tub with the oils and salts and candle, all that, wine. And I got wine today, too. So I'm trying to maintain that vibe because I've been super emotional lately. I don't know what's going on with the planets or whatnot. It's not PMS because I've been like this for 2 weeks and it's not the week that's usually my emotional week, so I don't know what's going on. But anyway, this album got me in my feelings. Thematically, it reminds me a lot of Kelala's Take Me Apart. Definitely, like, the sound is very different, but thematically it's about, you know, going through a breakup, like facing it head on, and then just like the unraveling of your feelings and the building yourself back up and just the ups and downs, the roller coaster of going through a heartbreak and a breakup, all that, dealing with the toxic relationship. I feel like Tinashe sings about toxic relationships a lot, actually, so I think it'll be very relatable for lots of people out there. And the song that I'm talking about is called Unconditional. It was actually really hard to pick a song because I'm telling you, this album, 333, I don't know if I mentioned it already, is like bop after bop after bop. Like, the whole thing is fucking amazing. There is a few songs. I think Last Call is one of like the last songs that's really good. She has a song with Cash Page. I think it's called Angel or Angels. It's directly after Unconditional. And then a few before, like Pasadena, I think may have been one of the singles possibly. And one of the first songs. There's a few really good ones. Like, it really was hard to pick just one. But I think this song I picked because it kind of goes along with like some other things that I wanted to talk about. So, yes. The name of the song is Unconditional. So for this episode, just like a little pre-cap, I'll be talking about the idea of unconditional love and how romanticized it is and how harmful it can actually be. And we're going to be talking about Mama's Boys, kind of like a sidebar that's more to do with like current issues on the internet this past week. And yeah, a bunch of other toxic shit, alpha males, that whole fucking bullshit. Yeah, so this album, oh, by the way, Unconditional, which was, it was weird to me that this song stood out to me also because I, when I was like looking into it, saw that it is produced by Kate Renata, who's an amazing producer and DJ. And actually in 2019, his album Bubba, one of my favorite songs on there was You Bring Out the Worst in Me, or I think it's called Worst in Me, but it's featuring Tinashe. So them two together, like, I don't know what it is, but they made magic with this song. And it's one of the, I wouldn't say slower songs on the album, but definitely compared to the other songs, a lot of them are more like upbeat, which is like, I love that contrast between like what she's like singing about and like how the song actually comes out. So definitely go check that album out if you haven't. I can't believe it took me this long to get into it, but it's definitely one of my favorite albums so far this year. Like, I'm obsessed. I don't know if it's just like my emotions on crack or what it is, but I really do fuck with it. All right. So basically, unconditional love is, you know, this whole idea of like being a ride or die. And I've talked about that, I think, before, how I think people are waking up to how toxic that idea is. And how unconditional love shouldn't be a thing, and how it's not a bad thing. Like, to say that, like, a love is, it has conditions or like boundaries or whatever it is, that's okay. It doesn't make your love a fake or any less real or whatever it is. It's just you putting yourself first, not in like a selfish way or in a way that's like you're not like valuing your partner. It's just in a way where, like, if you love someone and they're not doing the right things, or they're not making you happy anymore, or they're not putting your feelings first or like considering your feelings, you don't need to ride or die for that person. Your love should not be unconditional for that person because clearly they don't value you like that. So, you know, like, definitely do not fall into the unconditional love fucking bullshit ideology. It's not healthy. All right. And that's what I love about this song is, like, in a way it does kind of romanticize it because the song is so good and it's relatable, the lyrics. Like, if you've ever been a fucking sucker or like a fool for someone where like you just love them no matter what, you'll definitely relate to this. But I like how it has like a little switch up in the middle, like a little bridge into like the second half. And I love that shit. Like, I've talked about that before, like Frank Ocean Nights, when he has like that little beat switch. Kehlani had that in her song, I think, was it Open from her It Was Good Until It Wasn't album. I know it was a song that I had done on here before, so I think that was it. But yeah, I love that when it like makes you feel like it's, you're traveling through time to like a different perspective, or just like the flip side of the coin or any of that. So actually the clip that I picked for this episode, like to show you guys, it includes that part because it's just so pretty, so beautiful. I love it. Actually, let's go ahead and start with that so you guys know what the fuck I'm talking about. And go listen to that after this episode, obviously, or like pause, go listen, come back, whatever.
I would give you from the figure. That's how much I'm stuck with you. Unconditional love comes with a price.
to stay.
Tell me that shit does not fucking go. Like, I'm ready to fucking turn the shit off and go listen to it again. But I won't, because I gotta get into this. Verse one, she says, "Feed my silence, makes my heart so cold. You don't call me. Take my pulse, I can't feel it anymore." Like, damn, she's going balls deep into this. Like, she will do anything for this person. Like, her life obviously revolves around this person. She's talking about, take my pulse, I can't feel it anymore. Like, they're going through it, and she just, like, can't focus on life. And that is the worst feeling, when, like, you can't eat, you can't sleep right, you can't focus. Like, you have no energy for everything, for anything, because you're just, like, heartbroken, or you're going through it in a relationship, or going through a breakup, or whatever it is. Like, you can't focus on life. Like, that's what that line means to me. Like, take my pulse, I can't feel it anymore. Like, I'm in autopilot. I'm not really focused on life right now. I'm just sad and going through it. So that shit, I was like, oh my God. Then she says, waiting on my love to walk through the door, waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. And then the chorus is, keep my hopes up every time. I don't even know how we set the bar so low. I forgive you for whatever you've done to me. That's how much I love you. That's how much I fuck with you. I would give you room to figure it all out. That's how much I'm stuck with you. Jeez, like, Lord. That's why I'm saying, like, unconditional love is not healthy. Like, you see, like, the way that she's singing about it, and she, like, describes it, like, so beautifully. Like, well, like, a dark, twisted way, obviously. But yeah, like, just being so vulnerable and, like, admitting how, like, when you are so fucking, like, unhealthily about someone, aka when you're a ride or die, like, you're literally sitting there letting your hopes get brought up every time, thinking that, like, oh, maybe they'll come through this time. But you're aware of it. Like, she says, I don't even know how we set the bar so low. Like, she fucking knows what it is. Like, she's not stupid. And that's the thing, like, when people are in a love like this, like, they're not stupid. It's just, I think these are, like, diehard romantics, people that are, like, all about that romanticized, like, toxic love. It's sick, honestly. But, yeah, and then the last line of the chorus is, unconditional love comes with a price. And that part right there, yes, because it does. Like, people want you to be their ride or die so bad, but they don't understand that unconditional love comes with a price. And that price is your dignity, your energy, your fucking soul, your heart, your focus, like, all of that, your tears. That's just not okay. Like, when someone's dragging you through that just because they know that you're gonna continue to be there, like, they're too comfortable. Like, maybe they do love you, but what it is that they're too comfortable, and they know that you're always gonna be there, and they kind of, like, brainwash you in a way to believing that, like, you're a real one for fucking sticking around through all this bullshit. Like, yeah, you real. Yeah, no, you're stupid. We've all been that stupid before. And that's why I need this idea of unconditional love to die. No, love needs to come with conditions. You should not be stuck with someone forever because you promised to love them. I believe in divorce. I believe in breaking up. Dump him right now if you're not happy, if they're not valuing you, and if it's just not working anymore. Like, you can only put up a fight for so long, you know? So she's definitely, like, super just, like, vulnerable and just, like, laying it out as it is. Like, yo, I'm a fucking dumb bitch. But I respect that, because I'm a dumb bitch sometimes. We've all been dumb bitches, men and women. Bitch is gender neutral, let me remind you. And that's when we go into, like, the bridge. Transitions to, let's see. So she says, two steps forward, one step back. We can never stay on track. So this is where she's, like, starting to get more real with herself, like, realizing, like, when she, her last lyric before the little bridge was, unconditional love comes with a price. So this is where she's going to talk about it. So she says, spent all day avoiding your phone. And then she says, now we both back at square one. I know it hurts when I'm not there. Don't understand why you're so scared. Push me away, then wonder where. Where is the one who always cared? Damn. Who needs to hear that? I know a lot of people out there who are probably going through something with someone where it's like, really? You didn't understand? You hear all the time when people are like, oh my God, I did not see the breakup coming. I did not see it coming. It was just out of nowhere. Like, I don't know what I did wrong. Really? Don't play dumb. Do not play dumb. Because clearly here, she's talking about how like two steps forward, one step back, we can never stay on track. That means they do this all the time. It's like this fucking infinite dance in hell of just like, we're getting better. Oh, no, we're not. We're getting, no. That's fucking annoying. It's unhealthy.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So she's recognizing that, and she's kind of just like calling him out now, like, really? You don't understand? You don't understand? Well, guess what? I don't understand why you're so scared trying to act like you're scared to be lonely. Because if you were so scared to be alone or scared to lose me, you wouldn't be treating me this way. And actually, if you listen to like the whole album, I could totally do an episode on the whole album, but it would be a long one because I'm telling you, like, it's great, just like thematically beginning to end. And it just kind of sounds like it was toxic. He kind of uses her. It's not really a solid enough relationship. They don't really see each other enough. It's been on and off for a minute. That's what it kind of sounds like from listening to the lyrics from the whole album, previous songs. So then, yeah, it's back to the chorus. So it's a new chorus for the second half of the song. She says, so I guess if you want me, you got me, baby. I'm yours now. They want a ticket to ride. Well, sorry, little baby, we sold out. And I dare you to find somebody who's going to be more down. If we fighting for love, little baby, I'm ready to throw down. Oh, geez. So I guess if you want me, you got me, baby. I'm yours now. Wow. So, you know, it's like pretty standard toxic relationship dynamic where you go through the motions of like trying to make it work. And then like you snap out of it because you do know what's going on. You're aware on some level. And then it's like a drug, like you just get a little hit of it and you're just like ready to throw down now for this love, like fight to the death for this love, even though you were just complaining. Like she says, I dare you to find somebody who's going to be more down. And that's like the whole ride or die thing. Like, why try to like even brag about how down you are? Like, don't be down. Don't be that down. Are they that down for you? I don't think so. And being down for someone isn't just like always being there through the fights. Like, I think being down for someone is like actually like riding for them in like a healthy way, like supporting them through everything, being there for them when they're going through it, or like just there to check up on them and their mental health and love them and spend time, quality time, acts of service, all that, all the love languages, you know what I'm saying? And if that's the case, you can find somebody else who's going to be down for that. And maybe you both should move on and find somebody who's going to do that, because that is real love and that's healthy love. But like this whole like calling each other like ride or dies, or being down for each other, holding it down, blah, blah, blah. Like that's nothing to brag about. That's nothing to try to hold your partner like up to, you know, like that's not like a standard. That's healthy. And then the outro is like super short, and it kind of goes into the intro of the next song with Cash Page, Angels. But it ends, and I think it's her dad, and he's saying, not only are the masks shed off, but also the notion that war is romantic. The idea that there are heroes, and these heroes are supposed to be idolized, and idolized because of what they do in war. So that is like beautiful as fuck, super poetic. I don't know if he wrote that, or if he's reading something, I'm not sure, but I really love that, comparing it to war, like how we idolize heroes in war, but it's like really, what is war? It's bloodshed, it's violence, it's horrific, but yet they're still heroes and they're still winners and losers and battles won and lost, all that. It's very romanticized, and it's just kind of putting that into perspective, like how fucked up it is that we like idealize this like unhealthy, toxic love, like this back and forth, this ride or die notion, you know? Like we need to take the rose colored glasses off, because why are we like really romanticizing this? So definitely go listen to the rest of the album, listen to it like front to back. It's amazing. It's 16 songs. I can't wait to listen to it again. I've only listened to it like twice all the way through, two or three times. But I can't wait to listen to it some more. It's really good. So I do have just some tweets, like how I was telling you guys how just like everything was just pointing to talk about this. I seen a few tweets. This one is by @SefSaid, S-E-F-F Said. And it's a quote by Unknown. It says, a person who truly loves you will never let you go or give up on you, no matter how hard the situation is. And like the fact that people like and retweet this and like believe this shit, like eat it up, is insane. Because like if you just like put some scary music behind it, like while I read it, it's terrifying. Damn, I should have got some fucking scary music to read it with next time. But yeah, for real, like really? No matter how hard the situation is, we'll never let, what? Like, you got me fucked up. Like, if the situation is hard, I'm leaving. There is no reason to fucking ruin your life. What? So that was one. And then there was one that was really good. I posted it on the Simp and IG stories by @LilTigerLotus. That's a cute name. She said, too many people think unconditional love means unconditional tolerance. You can love someone to the moon and back and still have boundaries. Boundaries don't diminish the amount of love you have in your heart. And she worded that perfectly. Because, like, when you say ride or die, like, that means you're gonna fucking die. You could still love someone and not be a ride or die. Like, you can love someone from a distance. You could love someone and know that you do not need to be together. And that's what she's like saying here. And I love it because it kind of just like points to the whole thing about boundaries. Like if someone's not going to respect your boundaries, then you don't need to be with them. Because if they're going to be like starting a fight about your boundaries or not respecting them, then maybe just who they are is just their character. That's who they are. And they should, as much as you love them, they should go find someone that is okay with those things, that their boundaries don't like, their boundaries aren't a conflict with their character. Because at the end of the day, if you could find someone who, like, none of your, like, morals or values or, like, ideas of what you view as respectful, like, if you could find someone where that all aligns, that's going to be a smooth-ass fucking cruise in the park love. And everyone deserves that. But meanwhile, because I don't know how easy that is to find, you need to find someone who you love enough that you are willing to respect their boundaries, and it doesn't bother you. It doesn't feel like it's a like attack on your character. Like if they ask you to not do this, or like, hey, I would feel more respected if you did this. Like if you're taking that to heart, then maybe those things are just like fucking in your DNA and you can't stop. But leave that person alone then. Let them find someone who like they'll be like, oh yeah, no big deal. Because it's not a fucking big deal to them. Like it fucking hurts you that bad to like not do these things. Don't be with that person. Simple. And then there's another tweet that I posted on Instagram at Turtle Breezy said, I'm not interested in teaching anyone how to love me anymore. We're past that. We attract what we need now. And someone actually responded and they were like, oh, I actually don't agree with this. I think love is teaching someone how to love you and like, you know, just showing each other. Because if you're not, if you're just like brushing people off, then like, are you even trying, you know, type of thing. And I totally get that. But I guess for me, when I read this, it was more in the sense of like, if I have to feel like I'm like teaching a child something, it shouldn't feel like that, you know, like we're grown ass adults. Like if I have to feel like I'm literally like a teacher and you're a fucking preschooler and it's like, no, 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 stay inside the lines. Who the fuck wants to do that? Like, I don't want kids right now. What makes you think I want to fucking deal with someone acting like a child? But in terms of definitely like learning each other's love languages and teaching each other, yes, but it should be like a healthy mutual understanding where it's like, oh, I'm teaching you this. And you're like, oh, okay, great. Process it and then implement it. Versus like where I'm having to like fucking slap you on the wrist every time because like you're not fucking changing. Huh? Like, nah, nah, nah. Miss me with that. Like, and nobody should be the one to fucking deal with that. Like once you reach a certain age, you like learn these things. And I get when you're younger, it's like you think you can make anything work. And that's why you live and you learn. And that's why I think the only thing that can make someone truly like wise in love and all that is just experience and growth and just literally aging, like getting older. And that's why I think it's weird when like super older people date super younger people. Cause like, how are you gonna have all this experience and then like date someone way younger than you that has no fucking clue? It's like gonna border manipulation. So just watch out for that. Which also really ties into this tweet by I Still Chase. He said, how your partner was raised is very essential to understanding who they really are and who you're dealing with. And this is very important because you gotta like, I know I posted some things like it's more like a joke where it was like, oh, he said I'm not wifey material, but he wasn't even raised by a wife. Like that wasn't like a diss to unmarried moms at all, because I 100% recognize that single moms or even unmarried moms, like they work so hard. They put up with so much. They're so strong. All of that, obviously. So like it's not a diss to that at all. It's more of like your reality is kind of what you grew up with. So, like, if you grew up with, like, a single mom, to you in your mind, like, a woman should have to do all these things that you grew up seeing your single mom do, when in reality, if, like, you're looking for a wife, you don't really know what that entails. Like, because in a partnership, in a marriage, it should be, like, you know, a split of the work or, like, based on, like, what you're able to do. Like, not even equal, but, like, equitable, if that makes sense, where it's like, you know, based on, which I just like randomly had this thought in my head the other day about like the way like work should be split in a partnership. It shouldn't really have to do with like money or like the value, which like that is a way, but what I was like figuring more is like, say you split the work and then it's like, all right, you're done, and then you see your partner is like still doing all this work. Like, you have all this free time and they don't. That doesn't really seem fair to me. Like, to me, it should be more like, okay, we both worked this many hours at work and then we come home and now we both have to do this much work and then we can both relax together, separately or together. But it's like you both have an equal amount of, like, leisure time. Because if it's you're splitting up the work and it's like, well, my work is done already and I have, like, 6 hours of leisure time and you only have two over here, that's kind of fucked up. So I don't know, think about it. That's a way, because the way some people split chores and shit and some people be like sitting around while the other one's still working does not sit well with me. So yeah, this whole like realizing how your partner is raised so you can see who they are and understand who they are, it can apply to so many things, not just like what I just mentioned, like the single mom thing, but just like even like the whole like family dynamic, like being a single child versus middle child versus the youngest versus the oldest, all that, like it's wild. That's like getting into psychology, which I'm not a freaking licensed psychologist, therapist, any of that. So like, I don't want to speak too much on it because I didn't really dig into that. I'm kind of just like freestyling right now. But it definitely impacts the way that you just like live in society and the way you carry yourself in relationships, like any kind of relationship, not just like a romantic relationship, but with like friendships and business, whatever it is. The way you were raised and like the dynamic that you're used to is gonna like form your reality. So when people try to like tell you like, hey, like this is how I do it, like you need to find a way to compromise because both your realities are different. But like if neither of you are happy, then just drop it if you're both gonna be too stubborn, because somebody's gonna have to be willing to compromise, and like both of you should compromise. And when you both compromise, there's going to be like a little bit of loss of satisfaction if you both aren't getting exactly what you want. You know, if you meet in the middle, it's like, well, you didn't get what you want. You didn't get exactly what you want. But finding a balance where you're both happy. And then that perfectly ties into this last tweet I have about this subject, which is like, I'm telling you, like everything was just lining up. I was like, I gotta do an episode on this because it all just literally just in my lap. It's beautiful. So this one's by Kehlani. So hey, shout out Kehlani. She said, something healing has taught me a lot about is choosing to think of people in totality, not labeling anyone as inherently bad because of their faults. I choose to remember all of who they are in complexity. Everyone has the power to be beautiful and ugly. Human shit. Beautiful and ugly, period. Human shit. Sorry, I like jumbled the whole sentence together. But yeah, that like beautifully sums everything up and like ties it together into like a little final thought, because although like your upbringing made you a certain way, and although you are the way you are and your character is your character, and although it may not have worked out with this person, you aren't a bad person in totality and they are not a good person in totality. Like you both have ugly sides to you. It's just kind of like recognizing when you need to like walk away from something. Because if your ugly is bringing out their ugly, it's going to get real motherfucking ugly. And in general, I don't think most people choose to be fucking like assholes or like a villain in anybody else's story. Like sometimes you just are who you are. And to you, it was the right thing. And to you, you thought you were right. Maybe you are really fucking stubborn, but in your head, you're right. But that doesn't mean that you're like the villain, you know? And it's just, I like how she put that out there to remind everyone to like not like make out everybody that like you had like a clash with or a falling out with or whatever as assholes. Like we're all doing our best. Nobody's perfect. But just know how to remove yourself from a situation when it's no longer serving you before it makes you act uglier than you need to, you know? Once you're acting out of character, like, remove yourself from that, because you can only try so many times before you realize, like, this just ain't gonna work. So that also kind of brings me to, like, some other shit that was going down on Twitter last week, I don't know, it was, like, in the last few days, and it was hilarious. That's why I love Twitter, because just, like, it'll be, like, a topic, a tweet, something goes viral, and it just, like, spins off into all these, like, subtopics, people like doing their own threads about it, and like now I'm gonna talk about it. So what happened was this one dude, I can't remember who it was, couldn't tell you who it is, I forgot, but he basically was like, oh, like my wife always is asking for flowers, but like I just don't get it, like I just don't get what the big deal is with flowers, and she just always wants me to get her flowers, but I just don't get her flowers. So obviously that turned into this whole fucking Twitter discourse about like flowers, getting your girl flowers, and just the polarity of like where guys and girls are at, obviously speaking from like a hetero relationship point of view, where like dudes are like, oh, like what, like it's just flowers, I don't get the big deal, like they just die anyway, it's stupid, like really you're gonna throw away a relationship over some flowers? Because girls started talking about like dump him, then like I would just leave, and I would too, I get that. And dudes, like, you would just throw it away over, like, that. And then, so women were like, no, you're the one throwing it away over flowers. We're the ones removing ourselves from someone that can't do some basic, little, simple, cheap, easily accessible thing to make their woman happy. Trader Joe's has fucking cute-ass, beautiful flowers, man. Like, we got some the other day for the Amigas shoot, some beautiful white roses. They lasted almost 3 weeks. And now I'm propagating a little, like, thing because, like, they literally lasted forever. They're starting to grow roots. Like, $6-$7 probably. I don't even remember. But are you kidding me? You can't go buy some beautiful little flowers at Trader Joe's from anywhere. They are cheap flowers. You don't have to buy, like, a freaking $50 dozen of roses, whatever. You can buy nice flowers, beautifully put together bouquets from anywhere online, get them sent, like, depending on how, like, extra you want to go with it. But if you can't even do that, like, you don't fucking like your person. So what are you doing? What are you doing? And those are, that's, like, one of those little things where, like, you got to realize, like, this isn't their character. They're too stubborn to, like, do this for me. It really hurts them that bad to just do this for me. Like, they got to argue with me about this. Like, you are dealing with an argumentative-ass person if all you're doing is asking for flowers and they're like, why? Like, why the fuck would you want to fucking deal with that forever? And I'm sorry. I feel bad for that lady because he was talking about my wife. So they're married. Like, that's shitty. And I know it's not the biggest deal, but, like, sometimes it's the little things. Sometimes these little things do show you how much someone fucks with you, you know? Like, remember Ryan's Roses when, like, they would call up people and be like, oh, you want a free thing of flowers? Who do you want to send it to? And they would catch people cheating because they would, like, send it to their side hoe or some shit. Like, the way I would kill someone. Imagine, like, you've just asked for flowers forever and then you find out, like, your fucking bum-ass dude is sending them to, like, his side bitch. Like, that shit is scary. Like, Ryan's Roses traumatized me. I was in, what, like, elementary, middle school? Oh, my God. Like, that'll show you how fucked up people are. Like, you got your woman here asking you for something, and then you're sending them to the side bitch. You a hoe for that. And I hope all of them got divorced or dumped, whatever. So something else I kind of wanted to talk about, since this episode is kind of about unconditional love, is a men's rights activist's favorite fucking quote from, I guess, I think it's Chris Rock had, like, a stand-up. It was, like, one of his bits or something where apparently he says, like, only women, children, and dogs are loved unconditionally. A man is only loved under the condition that he provides something. So, disclaimer, I haven't seen his show. I don't know what comes before this quote or after it. So, my little rant is not at Chris Rock or, like, whatever. It's just about this idea in a vacuum, okay? That's bullshit, first of all. 100% bullshit. Really? You're going to sit here and lie like women are loved unconditionally? Maybe children and dogs, like, for sure. Okay, I could see that. I could reason with that. But women? Are you serious? Under a patriarchy? No fucking way. Like, women are only respected or treated nice. And I won't say only, but definitely we've all heard of pretty privilege, right? And that's a whole nuanced topic on its own, so I'm not going to even really speak on that as, like, the overlying, like, issue. But I do kind of want to reference just, I guess, like, a subcategory of that being that, like, if you look really good or, like, you're attractive, sexually attractive to a man, they're most likely going to treat you better in certain circumstances, because there is also downfalls to the quote-unquote pretty privilege, where, like, if you look pretty, like, men will think you're, like, not capable. But with, I think that is why, like, men will offer to, like, help pretty women more. Like, they go stupid. Like, their blood rushes to their freaking penis and they can't think straight. They're just like, oh, pretty woman needs help. Like, no offense, men, but, like, you can't even disagree with me. Like, y'all joke about this all the time. Like you're thinking with your other head or whatnot. But, yeah, so, like, think about the women that aren't conventionally attractive and how much, less willing men are to help them, or how much they'll like turn a blind eye to be like, oh, I didn't see her over there struggling to pick up that box or this. And like, of course, this isn't all men. Like, I'm talking about obviously like the men's right activist type men, like meninists. Like, there are of course many great men that will like see any woman that needs help lifting a box or doing this or that. I'm just using that as an example because like I'm fucking weak, so like I like when people offer to like lift shit for me. But yeah, like there's so many other instances where like it's the same thing. And like, funny thing is, I found this quote. I was like looking, there was like different websites, but I was like, oh, Reddit, let me click on that. And it's literally the men's rights subreddit, and the freaking replies are insane. So I don't know if I like sidetracked too much, but it was from Chris Rock's little quote, right, about women, children, dogs are the only ones loved unconditionally. A man is only loved under the condition that he provides something. And then somebody was like, one of the replies says, fellas, when you wake up in the morning, you should look yourself in the mirror and say, fuck you, fuck your hopes, fuck your dreams, fuck your plans, fuck everything you thought this life was going to bring you. Now let's go out there and try and make this bitch happy. Sir, what? This is why nobody fucking likes you, meninist, fucking fake-ass men's right activist. Because you're a bitch. You sound like a bitch. Stop fucking talking like that. Like, nobody says, fuck your dreams to men. We have different expectations, you know, quote unquote, like gender roles, whatever, in society, but a lot of these are because of the patriarchy. So if you cared about these things and you wanted like rights and equality for men, if there's equality for women, there's equality for men. So like, why are you against unraveling the patriarchy? It would literally benefit you if this is how you feel. Like, if you feel like there's too much pressure in the gender role that's like put upon you, then come on. Like, y'all be victimizing yourself way too much. And then this other guy was like, I divorced my bitch, so my energy goes to making me happy. Okay, good for you, man. Good. I'm glad. So moving on from that, let's kind of segue now into, I know everybody fucking saw this. I'm sure it was on Instagram, Twitter, but it started from TikTok. This fucking grown-ass man, I am not going to mention his username, his handle, whatever, because I don't want to give him no clout because I think he's trying to like promote his music and be a rapper. So doing the whole outrage marketing or whatever it's called, where like you cause like a huge outrage to get like your views up, your interaction, whatever. So I'm sure it worked, but like the way all your fans are going to be fucking misogynists, man, like, and if you're okay with that, then you're a misogynist. You know, like, if you're okay with starting an outrage and getting the attention and views and interaction of, like, a certain group of people, that means you don't mind that group of people. That means you probably fuck with that group of people. That means you probably identify with that group of people. That means that group of people is your demographic. So, therefore, you ain't shit either, right? So, I got a clip of one of the videos. And mind you, his entire TikTok is just dedicated to just, like, saying super misogynistic, dumb shit. But here's the one that I came across and the one that mostly went viral on Twitter. And, like, I'm going to put it out there right now. He's getting fucking dragged to hell and back by fucking everybody. Like, men, women, older women, like, grandmas, like, everybody. I'm telling you, it's pretty great. It's pretty satisfying. Like, I've seen probably, like, at least 10 videos of him getting dragged by women on TikTok. And it's hilarious. Like, it's probably redundant for me to even like go in, so I won't too much because it's pretty self-explanatory. I think we can all agree this man fucking sucks. But just in case anyone hasn't heard it and needs to be aware of how fucking scary dudes are, like how embarrassing, just take a listen.
Why is it that even beautiful women, bad bitches, are single today? It's simple. Feminism taught you one thing. You a queen. You God's gift to this earth. You the prize. No, the fuck you ain't. No, you ain't. You ain't a queen. You ain't never gonna be my queen because you ain't my mother. You don't love me unconditionally. You love me under conditions. And the problem is that I'm a man. I'm a leader. I'm the toxic asshole guy. The tool, right? Because when we go out, right, you expect me to take care of you, right? When we go out, I pay for it. You good. We go to the store. Hey, get some shoes. You good. I got you. But when I tell you to do something, do it. That's the problem. Don't expect me to chase you and beg you and get on my knees, bro. I'm not submissive. I'm dominant. And then what happens is, I don't want to be with that. He's toxic. He's bad. Your friends tell you he's a bad guy, right? Then you go be with the nice guy and you end up cheating on him or leaving him because he's weak. He don't make you feel nothing. He don't blow the back. That's the problem. You're the problem. You're delusional.
Oh my God. So you're either laughing or like appalled. What is there to say? I could literally go in there like line by line. My favorite part though is when he's like, I'm a leader. I'm dominant. Like, who the fuck are you leading? A bunch of fucking bitch boys? Cause ain't no woman gonna fucking follow you or let you dominate her. Like, so you're scary the way you talk. When I tell you to do something, do it. The fuck? I promise you, you're only leading fucking bitches. And I'm talking about like men that think like you when I say bitches. Because I've talked about this before, like with the whole idea of like feminine and masculine energy in a relationship together and how like feminine needs to submit to the masculine energy, but how this all needs to be like organic. Nobody's going to submit to somebody that's like trying to force them. The only way a feminine energy is going to submit to masculine energy is if you are nurturing and if you are a good decision maker and if you are making her feel safe, if you are taking care of things, you know? Like, no one in their right mind is going to submit to that type of hostile energy. And it's insane that this all started with, like, a whole, like, study. It was, like, a book written by this, I don't know if he was a biologist or, like, some kind of, like, animal scientist, observer, person, whatever, researcher. But he wrote a book about, it was a study of, like, wolves in captivity, studied their behavior, and came up with the whole idea of alpha wolves, like, the ones, like, he saw how all the males interacted with each other. And mind you, all these wolves are in captivity, okay? They're from different, like, wolf packs. They're in a fucking stressful environment. They're not in their natural environment. So he didn't take that into account. So he writes a whole book about how, like, oh, the men will always, the alpha energy, the male dominant energy, they're always trying to, like, you know, like, be number one and lead the pack, blah, blah, blah. Alpha men, like these weirdos, ran with it. They thought they did something. They're like, I'm a wolf, man. I'm a wolf. I'm dominant. And now you sound fucking stupid. Because did you ever read the second part where he realized, hey, they weren't in a natural fucking environment? When he studied them in the regular wild, he saw that's not how it is. Usually what it is, it's like the eldest wolf or whatever, and it's not even usually a man, it's like usually like a unit, it's like the parents of a family, like mom and dad, they're the alphas, they're the leaders. And if it's like a man, it's never like a hostile thing, he just really just protects them and leads, like it's not in like this like violent hostile way. So that's where like all these meninists got it twisted, and that's where this man needs to like sit down and like read for real, like calm down, because he sounds angry. It's embarrassing for him. And then another thing that he fucking talked about that was, like, hilarious was talking about, like, you ain't a queen because you'll never be my mom. You're not my mom. My mom's my queen. She loves me unconditionally. Yes, that's the only time that someone is going to be loved unconditionally is by their mama, okay? And even then, I don't know who would put up with that, because if my son was talking like that, I'm not saying I would beat his ass unless he was grown, but, yeah. And like the thing is, like, if your mom's your queen, you're the king. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You see what I'm getting at? Go date her then. Marry her. It's fucking weird. Because no woman should have to love you unconditionally, sir. Like, I hope every woman bounces when she sees how fucking weird you are. Fucking weirdo. Which brings me to the topic of emotional incest and mama's boys, bro. Oh, no. So the definition of incest, or covert incest, I guess, is a type of abuse in which a parent looks to their child for the emotional support that they would be normally provided by another adult. The effects of covert incest on children when they become adults are thought to mimic actual incest, although to a lesser degree. So it's actually like an actual like psychological fucked up thing. Like, it's sad. Like, it's not okay. Like, I'm sure there's like degrees. Like, if we're talking about like on a spectrum, mama's boy, might be like in the middle. Like if we're talking covert incest is on the extreme end, emotional incest. And then we got mama's boy in the middle. And then at the other end is like normal, healthy relationship, right? So we're not going to automatically equate mama's boy to covert incest, because covert incest is actually like a thing where like you need to get fucking therapy for that shit. So let's kind of just talk about mama's boys, but keep in mind the covert incest, because like I said, it's a spectrum, and you know, you never know to what degree it is. And either way, it's going to fucking ruin your relationship putting up with someone like this. Ew. There's like, you know, on Google, it has like images on top of like the definition and stuff. There's like one, I think it's a book, and it's called Silently Seduced. I'm gonna click it. Oh yeah, so it's an interview with Kenneth Adams, who helped pioneer and define covert incest. So if you want to know more about that, which is really fucked up, and like a crazy like thing I saw on TikTok, another thing that made me want to like just throw this whole episode together. It was like kind of like, this is like kind of all over the place, everything, but it's all tying together, right? You know what I'm saying? So I seen a video, I guess it's from a show called something about mama's boy, but it was a video I saw on TikTok. People on TikTok like stay posting like full fucking clips from like TV, and it's hilarious. Like I've watched them, because it's like 1 minute clips, and people will be like part two, part three, part four, part five. Like you could almost watch a whole episode on there. I don't know how long it stays up, because like copyright issues, I'm not sure how that works, but I get sucked into that shit. I seen like three parts of this episode, right? So it's like mama's boy, I love a mama's boy or something like that. But basically the clip, it starts out, it's like the girlfriend and her man, quote unquote, just by age, not by the way he acts. And like they're sitting in front of his mom, and I guess they're trying to tell the mom that they're moving out together. I don't know if they were both living at the lady's house, the mom's house, or if it was just the son. But yeah, so they're about to move in together, and like the son is like so scared to tell her. So the girlfriend's like, oh my God, like just tell her. And the mom's like, who are you talking to like that, friend of me? Like goes off, and she's like, get out of here. Like just talking to this girlfriend like shit. And the freaking son is not saying anything. It's shocking, honestly. Like I've never seen nothing like this in real life. Like I've never like dealt with a mama's boy, thank God. Like I had a friend that was dating this dude that was like had a weirdly close relationship with like his grandparents. And like I felt the frustration for her, because she would like tell me that like they hardly spent time together. And that she would be like, what you doing next week? And he'd be like, oh, blah, blah, I'm free on this day. And she'd be like, cool, let's hang out. Let's hang out. And that he would be like, oh, well, actually, like, I have to see my grandparents. I haven't seen them in, like, a week. She was livid. And I totally get it. Like, and, like, what do you even say to that? That's, like, grandparents. What are you going to be like, fuck your grandparents? No, it's weird. You can't say anything. But that's weird. So I can't imagine with, like, a parent. Because that's, like, someone's parent. You can't say anything. But I would. And you should. Because what the fuck, if your partner isn't going to stand up for you to their family, whether it's like a sister, brother, like parent, whatever it is, like if they're going to let them talk to you like shit, like degrade you, like humiliate you, I would not put up with that. Like if you are dealing with the mama's boy, your coochie just doesn't dry up. Like how are you sticking around? I'm scared for you. Like I would be so turned off. Ew. But anyway, so they end up, the girlfriend ends up telling the mom, because he could not spit it out. He wasn't standing up for her. The mom was like, bye, 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 get out of here, get out of here. No, he's not going anywhere. He's living here forever, okay? Mm-mm, bye. Oh my God. I saw like three parts of this, and then someone in the comments was like, oh, I saw this episode, and she ends up leaving him. So that gave me so much relief. Thank God. I think it's on Hulu, possibly. I'm gonna have to go check out that show, because that is like wild. So a way that usually like this whole emotional incest thing happens is triangulation. So this is kind of where like, say there's three people, right? It's like the mom, the dad, and the child. So for this example, since we're talking mama's boy, we're going to have a son, mom, dad, son. So triangulation is where like the mom becomes closer to the son than she is to the dad, right? So if it's a triangle, I think isosceles, right? Where it's like the two long sides and the one short side. Possibly. I could be completely wrong. So embarrassing. But yeah, so say it's two really long sides and then the two sides that are like far away, like that side, like they're close together, the dots, the corners, right? So that's the mom and the son. And the dad is all the way far away at the tippy top. That's triangulation. And basically it's just a way to like show how fucking close the mom is to the son and basically using him for all the emotional support and how distant the dad is all the way out here. When in reality, like parents should be the two dots that are closer together, the two corners. You know, that's your partner. You should be in it together, still like feeding your relationship, all that. So when you have triangulation and it leads to all this, that's where it gets messy. So apparently, I guess it could also be used for like other types of relationships. So like just in psychology, like the general definition is, it says, is the name for a rather heartless form of manipulation in which one person seeks to control a three-person interpersonal situation for their own benefit. It often involves the use of threats of exclusion or strategies that aim to divide and conquer. Yeah, so it's kind of like you're, like, probably feeding to your son here. Like, oh, your daddy ain't shit. Like, you're my only true love. And, like, we see this all the time with, like, moms that are, like, weirdly obsessed with their sons. Like, my king, I didn't know real love until I had you. Or, like, women that are like, I just want, like, a baby to know real love. Like, that's not a healthy way to start off a relationship, first of all. Nothing wrong with your son being your king. But, like, if you're already, like, planning to, like, pry off his girlfriends or scare them off or, like, every girl that your son brings around, you're like, mm-mm, ho, whore, hood rat, not good enough, treating her bad and, like, trying to turn your son against her, that's triangulation. It's weird. It's a form of emotional incest or a symptom of it. And it's disgusting. It's not healthy, and you all should seek therapy. It's weird. And this is usually also, it can indicate that you're dealing with a narcissist, like whether it's like the mom or like whoever it is. Like, I don't want to use this to like bash mothers, but like, let's be real. There are crazy fucking moms. Like, have we all seen The Sopranos? Like, that bitch was psycho. Fuck that bitch. Tony Soprano's mom. Yes. Like, I hated her from the first moment she was introduced. Yeah, so just be aware of that shit. Once again, I didn't go to school for like psychology or none of that, so like I don't want to get too much into it, but you know, always got to throw it out just for some awareness because it's scary. All right, so one more thing I want to talk about, I almost forgot, and like I was gonna put it off till next week, but I just got to talk about it now because this just happened. Summer Walker, if you know, you know. And it's just hilarious because obviously last week's episode was on Summer Walker or Session 32, but Summer Walker. And this week, she went on live on a whole fucking rant. It's like 7 minutes. It's fucking hilarious. I do have a clip. I'll show it to you guys in a minute. But real quick, if nobody knows the fucking drama, let me do a little rundown. So obviously, Over It was produced by London on the track, right? And they dated, I don't know how it started, but I know he had a baby mama before. He has two other baby mamas. I forgot their names, but she literally names them in the live because she starts off by saying, like, I'm doing this because I don't have any of your guys' numbers, blah, blah, blah. So she goes off talking about, leave me alone. Like, I'm trying to live my life. Me and London are done. I gave him back. Like, I literally only hit him up when it has to do with our child, right? Because, yes, she got pregnant by him, even though she saw that he was deadbeat dad to baby one and two with his two previous baby mamas, which, you know, no shade to her, whatever. That was her decision. And the thing is that she's fucking rich. Like, she could take care of a baby on her own. When it comes to you're not rich, maybe make better decisions. This is never to victim blame. This is just to fucking, like, tell women, like, come on, come on. Get it together. I love you. I want what's best for you. And you know when a man ain't shit. You know if it's not good, don't fucking procreate with this man. But anyway, back to Summer Walker. She did because she can afford to. But so she's like had a drama with like the baby mamas. She talks on this live about how she like tried to have like all of them come together, like invite them for like holidays, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever, like to have them all together. How she had London like drive out one of his baby mamas because she wanted to talk to her to like be cool, and how the other baby mama was like still trying to fight her and all that. So she was spilling, yo. It was fucking hilarious. And she's just like low-key so funny. Like, I was cracking up, like, the way she's just like so fucking like animated with it and all the little moves she was making. I was cracking the fuck up. But the best part, you guys, like, let me just play this.
It's fucking weird, bro. It's obsessive. Stop the clout chasing. Let me move on. Go get you, calling all hoes. Calling all hoes. One of y'all put that good thing on them. Put that good thing. Somebody please put that. Put that on him. Put it on him so he'll leave me alone, okay? I'm good.
I'm dead. Yeah, basically, she's just, like, fucking tired of it. Like, apparently, she has, like, a new man, and she went on a date. London found out, and next day, she was getting threats from, like, either him or his people or whatever. I think he was hitting up, according to her, allegedly, he was hitting up her people. Like, oh, if you care about Summer at all, like, you'll keep her away from that man, blah, blah, blah. So she's like, yo, it's giving obsessive, like, move the fuck on. Like, why are you still in my life? Like, you didn't want nothing to do with this, so bye. Like, you ain't shit type thing, right? So then, like, he on his IG story was talking about, like, I don't know what she's talking about. I never hit up nobody, blah, blah, blah. Talking about, oh, because she was like, I'll give back the car you got me, like, blah, blah, blah. I don't even want it. I, like, my car is paid off. Because apparently he gave her a car, but, like, it wasn't even paid off while they were together, right? So she was like, I'll give it back, no big deal. And he was like, oh, for someone who likes her shit paid off, like, your ass and titties are still on payment. And I don't know. I don't think it was much of a back and forth. Like, she said what she had to say. She went on her live, and then she, like, did, like, some IG stories about it. And he said that. I haven't kept up since then. But basically, this new album is going to be fucking fire. Like, she got some drama and Summer talking shit. She's going to be in her bag. I can't wait. And I'm all about this messy shit. Like, please let me talk about it. It's fucking hilarious. Yeah, so I just wanted to end with that fucking funny ass clip to just lighten the mood a little bit. In a way, as drama filled as it is and fucks up, whatever, it's fucking funny, right? But yeah, I talked about a lot. I feel like I just fucking rambled forever, but hopefully it all tied together and you guys could learn something or at least laugh along with me, because there was a lot of shit going down on the internet and I had to talk about it. But yeah, don't deal with mama's boys. Love should absolutely come with boundaries, bordering conditions, I guess. I don't know how you want to look at it. Boundaries are not conditions, but basically, like, you shouldn't love someone no matter what, or stay with someone no matter what, because you can still love someone and leave them. Not be with them, you know. You can definitely love someone and break up with them, and then from there you'll heal, but you'll know when it's, like, not meant to be anymore, or when it's not safe for you or healthy for you or whatever it is. Don't ever fuck with a quote-unquote alpha male, because they're not, they're just a bitch, and they don't know anything. Like, they're literally just misogynists trying to, like, masquerade their, like, victim mindset as being hard and a fucking provider and a leader. Like, please, no, you're not. And men, it's not that you are not loved unless you're providing something. It's just that everyone has kind of their set roles. But to sit there and act like women don't have to provide anything, like, that is a fucking fat ass lie, because women have to provide a lot. They have to give up a lot. And I'll talk about all this even more in a marriage episode I got coming up. I just want to plan it out better, because there's a lot of fucking points I gotta hit. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Once again, shout out to Wild 7 Studios for hosting Simpin' After Dark. And shout out to Nightshade Collective. And just a reminder again, go follow Amigas the Series on Instagram. You can follow me at Ash_Friday_ on Instagram. You can follow Simpin' After Dark on Instagram at Simpin' After Dark. Also on TikTok and Twitter. And yeah, I'll see you guys next time. Bye.